Breathing. You're welcome to move up if you'd like. Anyone wants to, you can actually move your cushions forward so that you're still in the room, and if you want to bring your chair all the way up, you're welcome to do that as well. So, last week we talked about the paramitas, and I suggested that I might continue to talk about them. And particularly, kind of went through a little overview of them, and then each one, we talked about this, the notion of these being transcendental virtues, the virtues that carry you over to this place that is always here, that carries you nowhere in particular, and yet there is a notion of arriving to a place in relationship with our lives, in which we stop resisting and kicking and screaming on a perpetual basis. We begin to live our life as if it mattered to us all the time. And we see the value of each action that we make, we take, and how it expresses our service to all others. And we do that by cultivating these qualities. Each of them, which I love the design, each of the perfections give rise to the next one. So actually, you can just start with one and forget about the rest if you want to, because each one actually gives rise to the next. It creates the space and the opportunity for the next one. It doesn't require it, it actually gives rise to it. And what's wonderful about these qualities is they're each also an antidote to some bit of fussiness that we're all caring about. So, they have an essential, each one also has an essential outlook, right? And so there's an outlook to each of the paramitas that we hold. So the first one being dana paramita, or generosity or giving, is the essence of it is unconditional love. Here we are. We're done. If you can cultivate truly the quality of unconditional love, what else is there a need for? Really? The cultivating generosity, cultivating the willingness to give. Here's the transcendent aspect. Without seeking return, right? Without seeking return, without seeking accolades, without seeking applause, you can cultivate a kind of boundless, open heart that enables you to give, even when there's no likelihood whatsoever that anyone will notice. You have cultivated truly dana paramita, and you have cultivated the antidote to greed, a boundless open heart unconditional love, a willingness to give, is the antidote to greed. Each of us express different human qualities that are less than useful in our daily lives. And all of us actually express all of them. Some of us are pretty well connected to one or two. And so you could kind of start to think of each of the paramitas as I go through them. I'm like, oh, yeah, greed, that might be my thing. Rather than connecting to like, oh, I would like to be generous and giving, find the thing that you might need support and have an antidote to. You get what I mean? So it's, you go and you deal with the disease, that is your disease when you want medicine. You don't just choose any of the medicines, right? If you really want to get to the heart of it, as you listen to this, say, oh, that one, that's my disease. And allow yourself to pay particular attention to that paramita. If you can't remember that, start with Dana Paramita and know that it will lead the way, it will give rise to Shila Paramita. Ethics, Shila Paramita. The essence of which is compassion. Because the fundamental outlook of cultivating the quality of the virtue of ethics, even when no one's watching, that's the transcendent outlook, right? Even when no one is watching, provides you with the antidote to attachment and also ignorance. The essence of, or the outlook of ethics is being in integrity, being in alignment with what is really true for you. And of course, one has to discover that, and one can't be in alignment truly and be in integrity if one is holding on very tightly, which is why the practice of generosity first makes space for the possibility of being in alignment. Right? Because if you are busy counting your little parts, you know, I've got four and she's got eight. Right? Your mind is working on some kind of a comparing nature between this and that, self and other, what's going on here, what's going on over there. And it's very challenging to then be clear about where you actually are when your mind is holding on to these other ideas. And so generosity is really important. To cultivate a boundless heart gives us the opportunity to be actually willing, even, to see our own lack of integrity. It is through that action that we make the opportunity for ourselves to say, oh, yes. Because we've loosened up things in general. As you bring yourself into alignment, it becomes more and more clear that there is a need for patience, right? Because as you get yourself into alignment and bring yourself into integrity, it is only natural, and you are now oh so generous, it is only natural that you are going to discover people that are oh so difficult to deal with. And so cultivating ethics, Shila Paramita, gives rise to the next paramita, which is patience, shanti. Shanti paramita. Because if we don't cultivate that capacity to stay in alignment, to be in integrity, and someone is wearing us out, we can't go anywhere from here. Right? The fundamental outlook of patience is a deep desire, is a deep desire to be stable and open to whatever is actually happening and to cultivate a quality of equanimity with. So cultivating patience is not like, I feel really good about this situation and so I can hang out and wait. We cultivate patience even when someone has done us harm. Even when someone has done us harm. We develop the capacity to quell our anger, to allow our anger to subside, even when you're pretty sure they're wrong. You get pretty sure about that, don't you? Kshanti Paramita isn't interested in who's wrong or who's right. To cultivate a transcendent virtue, to cultivate a virtue that carries you from the shore of endless suffering to the shore of freedom, it would be helpful to not be trying to figure out what percentage of right or wrong is going on, right? Rather to allow yourself to rest in a sense of equanimity, to receive the situation just as it is, and allow that to be the antidote to anger. A kind of aggressive charge that wants to find blame, that wants to figure out who's responsible, while it shields you from the direct experience of your own grief or pain or disappointment. If we allow the practice of Kshanti Paramita to be present for us, we have the opportunity then to experience the entire situation, which includes our own experience, what's going on for us, our own direct experience of that pain, of that suffering. And when we're in that suffering, in that experience, most exquisitely, it doesn't matter who is to blame. Kshanti Paramita, well, for sure, gives rise to the next paramita, which is virya. And the Virya Paramita, its essential quality is outlook, its essential outlook is the development of a strong heart and mind, strength of heart and mind, so that you can practice, right, and be in the practice of the Dharma even when you don't want to, even when you don't feel like it. In fact, quite specifically, when you don't feel like it. So we develop this quality of effort, of bringing ourselves to the situation over and over again, even when you don't feel like it, as a way to allow ourselves to move beyond laziness, to move beyond our habitual tendency to push back against life and say, I'd rather be doing something else. I just want to check out for a while and stay here. And yet life continues. And if we are truly cultivating ourselves in a way that makes us available to the world that is in need, it's not going to happen on our time. It's not going to happen when we feel like it. It's not going to happen when it feels like it's convenient. And so it's a good idea to cultivate this quality of virya-paramita, of effort, as an antidote to laziness, so that when there is a need, we can go. When the Dharma is called for, that we can offer it. When suffering is present, we can meet it, rather than turning our head, rather than shrinking away, rather than wishing the situation were different in any way, that we can meet it. This quality of a real courage, right? This effort, this virya-paramita, this quality of courage, in turn, gives rise to a room for mental stability, emotional clarity. And thus, we find ourselves practicing dhyana paramita, meditation. It could be still sitting meditation, it could be moving meditation, but to cultivate the quality of mind that enables us to be steady, clear, stable, when all of the cycle of life is going on. All of the cycle of life is going on. Is what dhyana paramita's value is. It gives us the firm ground from which we can now bring all of the other qualities into play and allow those to come through and express themselves from this place of stability, this place of open-heartedness, this place of courage, this place that is rooted because it's patient, this place that is aligned, unwavering, clear. And of course, dhyana paramita is the antidote to dullness, because the essential characteristic of meditation is to be awake. Is to be awake, is to be aware, is to be in full relationship with life, to be in the moment-to-moment dynamic tension that is life itself. When we think of meditation, we often think of, you know, stillness. And at least my meditation is a dynamic stillness that is constantly pulsing in relationship to whatever situation I find myself in. And that dynamic stillness, that pulsing, that aliveness, that connection, that give and take with life is happening whether I'm still on a cushion, right, still a body on a cushion, or whether I'm moving through the world, being in relationship with people through the exchange of money, the receiving of food, the giving always giving money, seems to me. The give and take of life, the giving of our heart on a moment-to-moment basis. All of that rooted in Dhyana Paramita, in this fundamental outlook of wakefulness, this fundamental outlook of being willing to see life clearly, and being willing to cultivate the steadiness that is required in order to see life still, life clearly. And as I mentioned last week, all of these thread around into Prajnaparamita, wisdom, which I've heard lots of discourse about what wisdom might be that often ends up sounding to me like intellect. And so I would offer that each of the five preceding paramitas simply give rise to wisdom. There's nothing to do. In fact, the only thing to do is to release any hope whatsoever for an outcome for any of them. Release hope completely. Bring your full intention and attention, your perfect intention, to each of the paramitas, and then to release thoughts of virtue or non-virtue, transcendent or ordinary, this shore or that shore, is Prajnaparamita. Questions.
There was a term used for meditation. What's that term?
Dhyana Paramita. It's the Sanskrit word for, and I offer the Sanskrit terms because we have come to use these translations that don't always speak fully. And so Dhyana is, its root actually means stable. Right? And so it tells us something more than this word meditation we have, right? So we think meditation and we have, we come up with all kind of ideas about what meditation might mean, but the root word of dhyana is steadiness, it's stability, it's firm. It means many different things, and so by beginning to hear the root of the word, then we understand a little bit more. We understand that we can flesh it out, that we don't get stuck in some very fixed idea of like, oh, this means meditation. Oh, I mean, this means I have to cross my legs and put my hands in a certain way, and only then am I doing meditation. Well, only then you might be doing meditation But that is not the limitation of Dhyana Paramita. That is not the limitation of the perfection of Dhyana, which is something more expansive than our language has, with its very short lifespan, has the capacity to really get around. Thus, the only way to really understand Dhyana Paramita is to practice.
Yes.
What's your question?
I'm asking you. It struck me that the parties was giving rise to my yoga feels really similar to the journey of the center. I was thinking about the different ways in which the center is manifested, the different kinds of things. I'm really thinking about the journey.